Turn your Bibles to Malachi chapter 4. We're going to finish our message that we started last week in Malachi chapter 4. And as you're turning there, a woman reported the disappearance of her husband to the police. The officer in charge looked at the photograph she handed him, questioned her, and then asked if she wished to give her husband a message if they found him. She said, "Yes. Tell him his mother-in-law didn't come over after all." Amen. This morning we are going to continue, as I said, our message in Behold, the Day is Coming. And last week we considered the dark days that we are living in today. Days of violence, days of bloodshed and murder, child pornography, and pandemic plagues. All of these things are not the judgment of God. They are the consequence of our sin. But for the born-again believer, it is definitely not doom and gloom. Amen? Yes, we are living in some really, really dark days. There's no doubt about it. But a new day is dawning on the horizon, for the Son of Righteousness is about to arise. Malachi chapter 4, starting at verse 1. "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts." So there is a bright new day coming. It is the great day of the Lord that the Bible's talking about here. So let's review a little bit, kind of look at what we started to look at last week. And the first thing that we saw, that it was going to be a day of reckoning. The day of the Lord is going to be a day of just punishment. Now, there's no doubt we see injustice every single day in our walk of life. But the day of the Lord is going to be a day of just punishment. And the first thing that we saw is that it is a coming day. As we see right in verse 1, "For behold, the day is coming." The day of the Lord is not today, it's a coming day. As I said earlier, all the stuff that we see today, the violence, the bloodshed, the murders, the plagues, those are all the consequence of our sin. When God's judgment rushes in, we're going to know it. There's no doubt about it. It's not going to be a guessing game. We're going to know the day of the Lord when it arrives. Romans chapter 1. "Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And they worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one for another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due." We see this world today absolutely spiraling out of control, and we need to understand why. And that's because Jesus Christ has not returned yet to usher in judgment and justice. He has not taken his rightful place on the throne of David yet. But we need to understand that day is coming. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." God is telling us here that the unsaved, those who have rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they are storing up wrath and His judgment. Maybe not today, but one day soon. Amen? So it's a coming day, but it's also a consuming day. In verse 1, we see the Bible says that it is a day burning like an oven. Think about that picture that God has given us there. We can get a better picture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting at verse 6. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to understand that Jesus is coming in flaming fire to take vengeance upon each and every one who has chosen to reject Him as Lord and Savior. That is the coming day of the Lord. Now understand, when that day comes, there's no second chances. Praise God today that He gives us second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth chances, doesn't He? But on that day, time is up. There will be no second chances offered. For those who are unsaved, those who reject Jesus as their Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us in verse 1 in Malachi 4, it says they will be burned up. They will be consumed with fire. It says they will be left with neither root nor branch. Remember, we said root always refers to our past, and branch refers to our future. And what God is telling us here, the unsaved on Judgment Day, the books will be opened, the Lamb's Book of Life, and whoever's name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will be cast into Gehenna. That is the everlasting lake of fire. And they will be consumed and have no past or no future, no hope whatsoever, just tormented forever and ever. And that is the just punishment for rejecting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God tells us in the book of Ezekiel, but as for those whose hearts follow the desire for their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God. We need to understand that there are consequences for our actions. There are consequences for sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Not talking about physical death, because even the believer will physically die. It's talking about the second death, the death of the soul and spirit in eternal lake of fire. The wages of sin, the just payment for sin, is death. But praise God, it doesn't have to be. Amen. Praise God, that's not the end of the story. Today is still the day of salvation. Today we can still have forgiveness. We can still have His grace and His mercy through His Son, Jesus Christ, if we want it. Amen? Yes, it's going to be a day of reckoning, but it's also going to be a day of healing. Verse 2, going back to Malachi. But to you who fear my name, again, that's a healthy fear. That's a reverent fear. It's a reverent fear of God. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in His wings. Son of Righteousness. It's talking about Jesus Christ. And we looked and we compared the S-U-N, the Son, with the S-O-N, the Son of God. And we saw that there are some comparisons that we need to bring out. And the first is that they are both light in and of themselves. You know, at nighttime, we see the moon, for example. The moon is not light in and of itself. What does it do? It simply reflects the light of the sun. And as believers, we are called to do the same thing. We are called to reflect the light of Jesus Christ into this dark and dying world. Secondly, they are both perfect light. Amen? So I gave the illustration, when you get dressed in the morning, sometimes you grab some socks out of the sock drawer and you can't tell which one's black and which one's navy blue. What do? You take it to the window and you hold it up into the perfect light of the sun. And then you can tell exactly what color it is. And Jesus Christ, He is the perfect and pure light of this world. John 8:12. Jesus said, "I am the light of this world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Jesus is that life-giving light of this world. If the sun, the S-U-N, stopped shining, all life on this planet would die. If Jesus Christ, the S-O-N, He stopped shining His light into our hearts, we would die spiritually. We would suffer the second death in our sins. Amen. The third way they are similar is they are also both reappearing light. At dusk, the sun disappears off the horizon, below the horizon, and then darkness floods in. At the dusk of His earthly ministry, Jesus also had to go away. He had to disappear. And this world was cast into spiritual darkness. But at dawn, the sun reappears to start a new day. When the sun goes down, we know, we have confidence that it's going to rise again in the morning. Amen? It's going to rise again and usher in a new day. And this is exactly what God wants us to understand here in Malachi 4. Yes, Jesus had to go away for a short time, and spiritual darkness ushered in. But He will rise again. There is a new day coming. Amen. So what happens when the sun arises? First, He chases away the darkness. How do we get rid of darkness in a room? Do we walk into that room and yell at the top of our lungs and tell it to get out? Do we grab a shop vac and try to suck it out? That's kind of silly, isn't it? What do? We turn on a light. Amen? We turn on a light. Light dispels darkness. Light and darkness, they cannot coexist together. We need to understand that Jesus, He is the light of this world, and He dispels the darkness. And when Jesus comes, when He dispels that darkness, everything that likes the darkness will also follow. Every wicked and vile and sinful thing will follow and will follow the darkness. It's going to flee from the light. Every lie and every deception will flee from the truth of Jesus Christ. It's like when you were little and the power goes out. Did you ever have that happen when you were a young kid? Power goes out and it's pitch dark in your house. And you call out. You say, "Daddy, where are you?" And your dad had already gotten out of bed, had already made his way into your bedroom. And he says, "It's okay. I'm here. And I'm looking right at you." Now, I know, without a shadow of a doubt, many of you are overwhelmed by the darkness that's in this world. Overwhelmed by the evil that's all around us, unable to see the Father's face looking right at you. But I want you to know for sure that He is there. Amen. And He sees you right where you are. And one day, very soon, Jesus is coming, bringing flaming fire into that darkness, and it will run and it will hide from His very presence. He will turn your darkness into light. Amen? What else is going to happen? He's also going to be the cure for sickness. Remember we said in verse 2 that He's going to come with healing in His wings. Part of that healing is going to be to redeem this old body of ours. Amen. This old body wears out, doesn't it? No more pain. No more disease. No more sickness. No more crying. Amen. How wonderful is that? All will be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Book of Revelation, chapter 21. Starting at verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. Amen. Jesus is the eternal great physician. Praise God. And when he comes, the Bible tells us that we will be like him. Amen. We will be like Christ. 1 John chapter 3. Listen to what God says in verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God. He's talking about those who have trusted in Jesus Christ. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, when Jesus Christ is revealed, we shall be like him. Amen. For we shall see him as he is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, but it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, talking about Christ, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and then afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man, Christ, is the Lord from heaven. And as the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. So God is making it very clear that we are born with a natural body. Amen. This is the body that we can see. This is the body that wears out day after day. Amen. It just breaks down. But in Jesus Christ, we will receive a new spiritual body. Not a spirit body. There is a difference. Spirit body is God himself. God is spirit. He has no physical attributes. Amen. He can't be contained in a physical body. But we will have a spiritual body. It's the same body that Jesus had after his resurrection. Amen. After his resurrection, Jesus made many appearances. He was able to eat with his disciples. Doubting Thomas, what did he want? He wanted to touch his hands in his side, and he could. But at the same time, when Jesus wanted to leave, he didn't have to open a door, did he? He could disappear like that. That's a spiritual body. And the Bible says that when we come into the resurrection, whether it's when Jesus comes at the rapture, or we die and we are resurrected at the on Judgment Day to stand before the Bema judgment of Christ, we will be risen with a spiritual body. A glorious day that's going to be. Amen. No more body that's going to wear out. Be just like Christ. So when the sun arises, we're going to go from darkness to light. We're going to go from sickness to strength. But wait, there's more. Like that infomercial. He's also going to cast away the coldness. We live in a very cold and calloused world, don't we? People today, they have no regard for the sanctity of life anymore. And it's exactly as Jesus said it would be in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. Jesus said, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." He was making this prophecy. He was talking about the end times. He said, when lawlessness will abound, when wickedness abounds, when it continues to increase, he said, the love of many will grow cold. And that even includes the believer. We're driving at night. We see a car broke down on the side of the road. Do we stop today? We're a lot more cautious, aren't we? Why? Because wickedness has abounded more and more, and even our love has to wax cold a little bit. We become more cautious. Amen? But for the unsaved, it's even worse. Innocent life just taken. Every day on the news in the city of Philadelphia, we see young children shot down. People just shooting at random. They don't care who it hits. No regard for the sanctity of life. We think about the coldness of this world. What is the coldest part of the day? It's at nighttime, right? That's when the temperature drops the lowest. But when Jesus comes, he's going to dispel what? He's going to dispel that darkness. And he's going to turn that coldness of night into the warmth of a sunny summer day. When we receive Christ into our heart, God removes that cold and calloused heart and he replaces it with a warm, loving heart, doesn't he? We don't become perfect overnight by any means, but he certainly replaces that cold heart with a loving heart. We love those that we never thought we could ever love. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 36, we get a great picture of what God is talking about. He says, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you." It's a picture of the Holy Spirit. "And you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." What a change, what a day it's going to be when Jesus comes. Amen. For the unbeliever, it's a day of reckoning, but for the believer, those who trust in Christ, it is a day of healing. The last thing I want us to consider, it's going to be a day of relief. Going back to Malachi 4. "The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked." Now, that's an odd picture for us, but if we were back in Jesus' day, most were farmers and herdsmen, and they had cattle, and they understood sheep, and they understood calves. And God is using a calf to illustrate the day of relief. He's showing us this young calf that is being set free. He's being led out into that green and lush pasture, free of any anxiety, free of any worries, free of any care. It's just a day of pure relief. Amen. He said, "We're going to grow fat like the stall-fed calves." Now that phrase, "grow fat," is equivalent to growing up. He's talking about maturity. He's talking about spiritual maturity, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. A calf, when it grows up, becomes an ox. What is an ox used for? An ox is used to serve and to work. Amen. What are we called to do in our spiritual maturity? We are called to serve our Lord Jesus Christ and to work for Him. How do we work and serve? How do we serve Christ today? Do we make a plate and put it outside and hope He shows up? No. We serve Christ by serving what? Each other. Amen? That is spiritual maturity. When we put others' needs before our needs and we serve one another, that's how we serve Christ. That's a sign of our spiritual maturity, and that is our calling in Jesus Christ. This is exactly what God is talking about here. That we serve one another. It's a labor of love when we labor for the kingdom. Amen? It's not hard labor. It's a labor of love. It's from our heart's desire. Then we see verse 3. He said, "You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts." It's talking about a day of victory, a day of overcoming. No longer will we as Christians be walked over. No longer will we be looked down upon and take it for granted. Amen? This is what Jesus was talking about when He said, "The meek shall inherit the earth." Amen? I want to show you a piece of Scripture. Romans chapter 16, verse 20. "And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly." Did you ever notice that verse? Whose feet will Satan be crushed under? Our feet. The feet of the believer. This is what God is talking about here in the book of Malachi. Our enemy, the very one who deceived the world, you and I, the Bible says, will trample under our feet when we return with Jesus Christ. Amen. That new day is dawning on the horizon. We need to be careful not to be discouraged with the injustice today. We need to be careful not to be discouraged when we see fewer and fewer in church. We need to be careful not to be discouraged when we see more and more falling away from the truth of God's Word. Absolutely, it needs to break our heart. But we ourselves, we need not to be discouraged. We can't let it get us down. We need to understand that God has not forgotten us. Amen. And He's coming with healing in His wings. He's going to turn our darkness into light. He's going to turn our sickness into strength. And He's going to turn that coldness into warmth. It's going to be a day of pure relief. Amen. Amen.